Om Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, very good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday live hosting and broadcasting from Radio Sai Studios. And this is a segment, Morning Glory. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. At the very outset, dear listeners, as always, as every Thursday, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful and grateful pranams at the lotus feet of the voice and the listener, the heart and soul of Radio Sai Global Harmony, that is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. I thank him immensely for giving me this opportunity to host a segment during Thursday Live, week after week, every Thursday. All right, today is 11th of October and the time right now in our studio is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time. The weather and climate in the ashram is quite pleasant and very nice. Moderate temperature and bright sunshine. In between there will be some cloudy portion also. And it's a mixture of both sunshine and clouds. Mostly it's sunshine throughout the day. But it's very quite pleasant. Just now, about 10 minutes ago, as you all know, the Vedam and Bhajan sessions concluded in Sai Granth Hall. And this Vedam and Bhajan session came to you live through Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. And I hope you all have listened to them, dear listeners. And as I am speaking to you right now, Swami's devotees have lined up in Sai Granth Hall to offer their pranams to Bhagwan. Today is 11th of October and the celebration of the festival Dasara has begun in Sai Granth in Prashanthi Nilayam. Not only in Prashanam, in everywhere. And the day after tomorrow, that is on 13th, the Veda Purusha Saptah Jnani Yajnam is going to start. And we all are going to have a wonderful time here. In fact, many of the celebrations will be webcast live from our website, radiosai.org. In the evening, there will be Vidwan Mahasabha celebration in Sai Granth Hall, and everything will be, as I said, webcast live. You can watch them live from our website radiosai.org or from Radio Sai's YouTube channel. Alright, last week I had asked you all a question, dear listeners, and I got good response from you. And today also I am going to ask a question. Well, last week the question that I had asked was, which year Swami inaugurated the Veda Purusha Saptah Jnani Yajnam? And the correct answer was 1962. Well, Veda Purusha Saptah Jnani Yajnam was a major step forward in Swami's mission of Veda Samrakshana, that is, protection of the Vedas. In the inaugural Divine Discourse in the year 1962, Swami highlighted the true significance of Yajna. And now I would like to read out an excerpt from that discourse. So I quote, "Yajna, sacrifice, is the destiny of every living being. Life is sustained by the sacrifice of the living. Every being, from the tiniest amoeba to the most profound scholar, is perpetually engaged in yajna. The mother sacrifices for the child, the father for the progeny, the friend for another friend, the individual for the group, the present for the sake of the future, the rich for the poor, the weak for the strong. It is all yajna, sacrifice, offering. Only most of it is not conscious or voluntary or righteous. It is done out of fear or greed or with a view to the fruits therefor, or by mere instinct of or primeval urge. It must be consciously done for spiritually elevating purposes, especially in man. Then, when life becomes yajnamaya, that is, sacrifice-filled, egoism will disappear and the river will merge in the sea. Unquote. So this was an excerpt from Swami's inaugural discourse, which he gave in 1962. So life is full of sacrifice. Each and every minute, every moment of our life, we keep on performing yajna, sacrifices. And it should be done consciously, with selflessly, consciously and selflessly. Alright, so today also, like last week, I have got a question, dear listeners. And my question will be very easy question. Mainly it's because it's to make you all involved in it. And also for me to know how many of you are really listening to what I'm speaking to right now, or what radios I is offering to you, the different radios I programs. Alright, so today I've got two questions, in fact. One is very easy questions. Easy question. This easy question is to make you all participate in this. And another is slightly difficult question. So the easy question is, for how many days the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajnam is performed in Purnachandra Auditorium in Prashanthi Nilayam? Well, that's a very, very easy question. Another question, which is slightly difficult, is what are the different components of the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajnam performed in Purnachandra Auditorium in Prashanthi Nilayam? In fact, dear listeners, there are 7 components. Please tell me what are the components. To give you a hint, of the 7 components, there are 4 parayanams that happens. And then 3 other components, which happens in Purnachandra Auditorium, Prashanthi Nilayam. And it starts on 13th, the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajnam. So these are the 2 questions. Please give me the answer by emailing to raghu@radiosai.org. raghu@radiosai.org. So I'll be waiting for your mail now. The 2 questions are, for how many days the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajnam is performed? And another question is, what are the different components of it, which is performed in Purnachandra Auditorium in Prashanthi Nilayam? So I'll be waiting for your reply, dear listeners. Reply me to raghu@radiosai.org. Alright, now it's time for the interviews, which we'll be listening in the segment Morning Glory. So today, basically, we are going to listen to 3 interviews. The first two interviews will be very, very short interviews. In fact, you all will be knowing the Jurists Conference on Human Values and Legal World, which took place in Prashanthi Nilayam on 11th and 12th of August 2018. And during the conference, Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi happened to interview 2 justices. So I'll be playing for you this interview. 2 interviews, very short interviews. The first interview is with Justice Mukhopadhyay, and the second interview is with Justice C.J.I. Deepak Mishra, who served as the 45th Chief Justice of India. So these 2 will be short interviews, and in conversation with them will be Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this will be followed by an episode of Tryst with Divinity, that is, conversation with Swami's devotees. And today, you'll be listening to the first part of conversation with Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, a former president of Sri Satyasai Seva Organization, Malaysia. Meanwhile, dear listeners, please reply to my questions, 2 questions. I'll be waiting for you. And at around 11 o'clock, I'll be back again. And I'll mention the names of the listeners who have given me the correct answer. All right, now, Happy listening to the segment Morning Glory.
Sairam Justice Mukhopadhyay, and a very warm welcome to Radio Sai, sir.
Thank you, sir.
It's so wonderful to have you in Prashanti Nilayam, where we are witnessing this confluence of the bar, the bench, the legal academia come together and talk about human values and the legal world. What are your thoughts on the significance of this conference?
You know, the significance of the conference is only where we are trying to find out the soul out of the Constitution of India.
And that's very important.
That is the only thing, because human value is there. And that, my topic which I get, Constitution rights out of the Constitution of India and the human values. So I am trying to derive what is the human value in our living Constitution. It's a living soul, it's like a living law. That we are looking into. And this is a great benefit for all of us to know this. Further enlightened by those legal luminaries who are here and who will be speaking.
Exactly. And isn't it an unusual venue for such an important discussion, or is it relevant in your opinion, Prashanti Nilayam, we are doing this?
I think when you were talking of human value, this is the best place.
Why do you say that?
You know, when we talk of the Constitution of India, we are talking of a constitution of a country. And that country has a human soul for all purpose. You know, these great people, they have lot of all these, you know, they have treated people equally. They have seen everybody equals. So those are the basic concept of constitution you will find from these great people. Great souls, they have said many things which are imbibed now in our Constitution of India.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining with Radio Sai Global Harmony, sir.
Thank you.
A loving warm welcome to Prashanti Nilayam once again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sairam. Sairam, sir, and a very warm welcome to Prashanti Nilayam once again.
Thank you.
So you gave a rousing speech in the Purnachandra Auditorium to inaugurate this special conference on human values and the legal world. In this context, I'd first of all like to ask you, what is the significance of this huge diaspora of people from the legal world who have descended into Prashanti Nilayam, representing the bar, the bench, and the legal academia, and they're discussing human values? In your considered opinion, what is the significance of an event like this?
I had told today, human values is the embodiment of our organic constitution. We are a diversified and plural society. The intention of the Constitution is to include everyone within its ambit and sweep. And that is why you will find the fundamental concept of human values is an emerging force in every fundamental right. And that is why the lawyers and the judges, while fighting for human rights, also emphasize on human values. There is a distinction between the human values and human rights in a very nuanced way. When someone fights for his own rights, maybe his human right, a thought may come, it's an individualistic approach. But when you really drive home the point and accentuate on that, the individual rises to a collective level, and then it becomes a very, very elevated human value, a human value orientation, and a constitutional principle that touches everyone beyond caste, creed, race, gender, or any kind of categorization. That's the subtle distinction I had mentioned today.
Very profound, sir. And what you just said, it resonates what Bhagwan Baba has also said, because his philosophy is entirely all-inclusive. There is only one race, the race of humanity, and there is only one religion, the religion of love. And you're saying it encompasses all of us. Now, in this context, what we see in society doesn't reflect the lofty values that are cherished in our constitution. So in light of the reality, the ground reality, and in light of the ideal situation that the constitution presents, how do you see today's conference being a catalyst of change?
the theme of the Constitution, as I perceive, and the topic today, as has been christened, really are in tune and harmony. The presence of the legal world today conveys that you must abide by the Constitution. And our Constitution sometimes is called with immense force a compassionate constitution. And what I mean by compassionate constitution, it intends to teach that you must live together, live in harmony, live with the idea of coexistence. Harmony, living together, living with coexistence, ultimately has to be founded up on the ground called fraternity. That is why we have the conception of constitutional fraternity. And this fraternity is based on love for humanity. Today, ma'am, you must have noted, I have said, divinity is humanity. When I said that, I really meant, when you elevate yourself as a human being, you achieve divinity. And divinity as a concept, as an idea, is achievable if you really grow better and better as a human being. And you really become a good human being, an elevated human being, if you love humanity. One must always remember, whatever is human, you are connected with it. You are never an alien to the human cause. You are a part of it.
So you speak of such high values which are enshrined in our constitution as well as in the culture of Bharat. And yet, in your capacity as the Chief Justice of India, I'm sure you come across a lot of violation of these values. Are you optimistic about the future?
I've always told on many occasions that I am an incurable optimist.
That's nice to know.
I always mean we have a constitution and the constitution has a culture. The constitutional culture takes into consideration the cultures of this country, all included. And therefore, there are some kind of aberrations sometimes, but that should not be treated creating any kind of dent or impediment in our constitutional values. Constitution and the institution shall always stand supreme, and they have the power and the capacity to withstand and guide by elaborating the constitutional values, ingraining the attitude in the people that you better follow the constitution. And most of the times I have also told people, follow one religion, that is the religion of the constitution. Follow one singular attitude, the attitude that is accepted under the constitution. Live by the constitution and there shall be no problem. Aberrations have to be there as long as the humanity is there. You must appreciate, whenever there has been any kind of civilization, there has been some aberrations, but that doesn't decrease the value or the value of the asset of that culture or the civilization.
Very nicely said, sir. Sir, as you know, I was telling you, the Sri Satya Sai diaspora around the world is several million strong, and I think all those devotees are clued to Radio Sai right now because it's a great honor for us to have the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of India visit our valley. So for the interest of all our listeners, I'd like to ask you, this is not your first time visiting, as I've just learned from you, Prashant and Ilyam. You've been here not as though not as the Chief Justice of India, but in your personal capacity when you were a lawyer, what do you recall of your interactions with Baba?
You see, long back, I had the privilege of meeting Baba personally in the room where he used to live. The privilege I had, because I had come with my father and some others, along with Justice Iradi, who was very much connected with Satya Sai Baba. I was very young, and he only told me, try hard, whatever you are doing, you will do well. I thereafter thought, no more questions should be asked. Once a man like him, or a saint like him, says this, that should be treated as a command. You should not have mundane predictions from saints. Saints speak and you have to listen. That's your obligation. And that's your facet of surrender. And you never get any benefit without the act of surrender.
Beautiful. Wow, and his words are prophetic. So you kept doing what he said and look at where we are today. Congratulations that you are able to visit this divine holy abode in your capacity as the CJI. It's a very huge deal, I'm sure.
Thank you, ma'am. For your family
and yourself. And so what are the outcomes you expect out of the deliberations over the next 24 hours?
As I saw the audience and the type of audience, they're very receptive. They have come because of their commitment. They have not come here for picnic. They believe in the cause and they believe in the world of love. And when they come to know that the world of love and the idea of love that has been preached by late Baba, that's an inseparable, nexus with our constitutional values, they would also feel, oh, Baba also spoke about the constitutional values in a different way. This will be ingrained when the legal world speaks to them in the language of the constitution with the morality and the path Baba guided them.
Very well said, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Great delight to have you talk to us on Radio Sai.
Thank you.
Sai Ram, sir.
Bye.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations in Radio Sai with those who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, Swami has sent to the studios Professor Dr. Suresh Govind. This is the month of July 2017. Guru Purnima is round the corner and we have the office bearers of the Satya Sai organizations of all the countries converging in Prashanthi Nilayam to offer their gratitude to Swami for giving them these roles to play, these little tasks in his divine mission. And Professor Suresh Govind from Malaysia is one of those office bearers who is among the most erudite, most dynamic, one filled with ideas, inspiration, one who can drive hundreds of youngsters, inspire them towards a particular pure goal, be very clear about where we want to go, have the energy and inspiration to lead by example, and know how to motivate the ones who have energy, the ones who have that drive to achieve a goal, to achieve a task that Swami would be proud of, to do it in a manner that Swami would look at and say, yeah, this is how I want my devotees to be. This is how I want the Sai youth to be. He's been such a beautiful role model for youth in Malaysia and elsewhere. By Bhagwan's grace, I had the opportunity to be in Malaysia recently. We had the Satya Sai National Convention in the first week of June 2017, and I had the opportunity to hear him. I had the opportunity to see the wonderful work that Satya Sai Organization of Malaysia is doing in various areas, especially in community outreach areas. And Professor Suresh Govind is a member of the International Public Outreach Committee of Satya Sai Organizations, specifically in charge of community engagement. So he's someone who has come out with brilliant ideas. It's not just ideas, they have worked about its details, they have made it work, and they have seen the amazing results of starting something with a pure intention, with the sole idea of making a difference in the community outside. Swami says, Samashti is what is Parameshti. Community is God. In the whole spiritual journey of any individual, it starts with Vyasti, it goes to Samashti, then it goes to Srishti, and then it goes to Parameshti. We are a limb of society. Society is a limb of nature, and nature is a limb of God. And he's someone who believes in it, who has taken any number of initiatives in this direction. He's also the coordinator for a friendship group of interreligious service, Satya Sai Organization of Malaysia. So as the name suggests, this is a group which is trying to again bring people of different faiths together to make the world a place of harmony. And he was the former president of Satya Sai Organization of Malaysia, and he still continues to serve in the Central Council of Malaysia. So he is there along with so many other elders who have given shape to the Satya Sai Organization in this beautiful country, where you have Indians, you have Chinese, you have Buddhists, and these communities have come together. They have worked hand in hand to convert this country into a country which can resonate in the human values that Swami has been talking about since he started the Bal Vikas program way back in the 60s. So he's someone who has done these experiments with truth, with love, with peace, with non-violence. And I'm really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him here today as we prepare ourselves to celebrate Guru Purnima. So a warm welcome to you, Professor Suresh Govind, to Radio Sai and to Tryst with Divinity.
Thank you, Brother Vishu, Sai Ram, and such a wonderful opportunity to be here and again to see you after the last time we met you at the Satya Sai National Convention, which people still sing praises of your words of wisdom that you parted in those talks that you gave.
So this series is Tryst with Divinity. So let's start from where all began. So let's begin from your tryst with Divinity. Yes. When and how did he enter your life? Did he barge into your life, or was it seamless? Or did you seamlessly go into his umbrella?
Yeah. You see, I was a college student. So when the college student, one day I was going back home, somebody said, there's someone coming to give a lecture, a talk on Hinduism. So I said, what, again another talk? Come, it'll be good, it'll be exciting. So he motivated me and I came and I sat at the back. Why I sat at the back was thinking that after 20 minutes I can slip out, you see. So the person who spoke was Brother Jega, Dr. Jega.
Oh, okay.
He came into my, he, you know, the way he speaks, is such a motivational speaker himself. So when he spoke about Hinduism, he spoke really about the why you should become a better Hindu and what's the values that you must inherit and cherish and so on. So it was so inspiring that I got caught by his magnetism and by his the way he spoke. So I literally went up to him and kept asking him so many questions, you know, because I was curious and thirsty, hungry for knowledge, so to speak. So I literally followed him all the way to the car park with a lot of questions that I had. And then he said, look, I have a center, Bhajan 20. He explained to me the center, and he said, if you're interested, come in and we'll talk. So one day during a thing, I went to the center where he was, and I went there, and there was a bhajan going on. And they sang Ganesh Ganesha Sharanam Sharanam Ganesha, I sang together. Then when they said Sai is a Sharanam Sharanam Sai Sha, I kept quiet. Because because the concept of a Swamiji yes, yes. was a beard and, you know, that uh-huh. that was how I perceived.
You had reverence for gurus and
oh, yes, yes. I was a great follower of all the teachers, of you know, my masters. Every teacher who comes, a Swamiji comes, I used to used to follow. And I'm a great ardent follower. I used to love Swami Chinmaya and Swami. Okay. All these Swamijis, I mean, they are so magnificent in the teaching. Yes. So, yes. Swami, I heard about, I've heard, but not to that extent, Swamiji's talks. I mean, Bhagavan Baba's.
So, you didn't have any aversion towards Swami?
No, nothing.
You were new. That's
new, yeah, totally new. Mm-hmm. So, then I went to the Vajra, so I kept singing Ganesha Sharanam, but Sai Sharanam, I kept quiet. But then, I participated in the service activities. Then, I began to see. See, the devotion is one thing. I saw people who genuinely went out. And it's quite rare because people who spend day and night planning something and then going out for medical camps. And I followed, in one of those medical camps, I followed this whole group of people, our center people. And this whole, I still remember the old Chinese lady, it was raining and yet in the middle of the rain, she goes all out in the muddy fields and helping with the people. And I was thinking, what is it that makes these people work? I mean, there must be something. There's no return. There's no money. There's no incentives. What is it that makes them work? The people were attractive. The people following Sathya Sai Baba were very attractive. So that attraction kept coming and I kept on going for bhajans. So that was how I came in. So, you know, Swamis used to say, my darshan will flow to you and through you. I think that is the experience that I had. And, you know, the likes of Brother Jaga was always very dynamic, very organizational. He is very clear in his words. So, you know, I was, that's why role models are very good examples. And unless people are in that stature, you can't get attracted. So I feel the whole world can get attracted, but we need to be projecting that image and projecting that aspirations, and not to mention the image that you need to show. Yes. I think Brother Jaga for me was a role model and still is, and I got captivated actually. Then my father, who works in the airlines, told me that there's a free air ticket. Would you like to go to anywhere in the world? I can go anywhere. So I said, no, let me go to India.
This
was in 1985.
Okay.
Well, that's about 30 years back. So he said, let me go and see Swami. He said, you'll go alone? He said, yes, I'll let me go alone. So I took this ticket and came and landed in Puttaparthi. This was my first visit. Brother Jaga gave me a few books. He told me, go and give it to Swami. You go and see this person called Uncle Kudumbarao. That's in those days.
Yes.
So I went and got, I saw him. He said, this book's from Brother Jaga. I want to get Swami's blessing. He gave me a note, his slip of paper, and he took me to the first row. The first darshan, first line, I got the first row. Then Swami came. My reverence was, I didn't know what the protocol was. When Swami came, I stood up. I stood up, I showed the books. Swami, you know, Malaysia, Jagadishan, he pressed him. He said, yes, I know. Then everybody was taking the Padanamskaram, so I also took the Padanamskaram. Then that day, afternoon, morning, next day, 2-3 days, every day I used to get the first row or the second row. Swami will come next to me and sign a book. So I'll get lots of times, I'll get Father Namaskaram.
Okay.
There was three ladies in that row, the three Malaysian ladies who came much earlier. They came to me and told me, see, Swami seemed to be coming to you every time. Why don't you ask for interview?
Okay.
So I said, what is this interview? No, Swami will take you inside and give you ring and chain. Ring and chain. So, and Swami will ask you how many, then you say four. Hey, you came earlier. No, just say four. I said, like that. That's all he said. So now, there was one day later, and every time, don't forget, every time it's first row, second row. One day later, I meet this Chinese.
So this was happening just like that. Because of the chit, or it was your luck?
No, just my luck. Every time the number picked up, so I was first row, second row, like that. Swami brought me right to the front.
Yes.
After 3-4 days, I met a Chinese man, and he was wearing a t-shirt. The t-shirt was Drink Anchor Beer. red color. I still remember because it was Puttaparthi all white, and this guy was, so he's a tourist, he came here. So he said, so you're new here? He said, yeah. I just want to know what on earth is going on here. You know, that was his attitude. So he asked me, so I said, okay, listen, if Baba comes to you, you say, he will ask for interview, you ask for interview. He asked me, what is interview? I said, that is the place where he will take you inside and give you chain and ring. And then he asked me, how many? I said, five. Three ladies, myself, you. So say five. So we are all in a group. Well, just say five. You know, so I passed the whole bunch. about this man. Now, this was a Sunday, Sunday. Huge big gathering there. But the whole Sai University students, everybody was there. And this time, I was sitting right at the back of the wall, against the wall. So, and I could see the whole ocean of humanity here. Now, Swami, and this Chinese man is sitting now in the first row.
First,
so, Swami now walks there. We can hear everything. He comes there and he goes to the Chinese man. He says, from where? So he explains, how many? Five. Come. So he got up and he waved at me. So when he waved at me, I also waved back. And so now I now say, excuse me, Swami is calling me. So let me pass by. So, the you know, like Moses departing the ocean. So I separated the ocean and slowly walked towards. And Swami was standing there and he was seeing me walk. He saw me walk. He was signing a book, writing something for somebody. He saw me walk across and I walked behind Swami. And now I'm entering into the interview room. As I'm entering into the interview room, something happens and I turn around to see how Swami would look like from an elevated standing point, because I wanted to see that. Swami at that moment turned and Swami said, hey, you, where are you going? So I said, Swami, interview room. Not you, sit down.
He said, oh my God.
Right in the middle. Right in the middle of the whole thing. So I then thought that Swami, you know, because a huge crowd, he might. So he said, Swami, you know, five just now, that man went inside. That five, same team. I mean, the same
team. Same team, yeah.
Not you, sit down. I said, Swami, Malaysia, not all Malaysians get interviews. Sit down.
Oh my God.
And immediately I was escorted by a few sevadals who just came immediately. I was grandly escorted to that same seat.
I know.
And Swami went inside to interview that Chinese man. So I was sitting there totally disillusioned, totally sad, completely. And I cannot lift my head to look at anybody because everybody is looking at me.
Yeah.
It was the most embarrassing moment in my life. I wish I was feeling like Sita. The earth must go and I must go inside.
Go inside, yeah.
So now the man, Swami comes out. Swami comes out, the Chinese man also comes out. Now his face is as red as the t-shirt. Something happens inside. I don't know what happened inside. But later when I met him, he said, Sai Ram, brother. You know, yesterday was, I want to know what on earth is. This time he's saying, Sai Ram, brother. So soft. So something has happened inside. But anyway, Swami came straight to me and stood there. And Swami asked, when are you leaving? I said, Swami, I'm leaving in 3 days' time. Then he said, you still have time. Why you worry? Then I caught hold of Swami, took Padanamaskaram, and I was totally, totally devastated by that experience. But 3 days passed by, I never got that interview. I only got the first interview after 12 years.
Oh,
from that point, it was 12 years later. I got the first. But something happened in that whole entire experience. Swami literally dragged me right to the front and did an operation, so to speak, and smashed every bit of whatever that I had. And that is how all my flowering took place. I have the ability to speak. After that, only my drama talents came by. I've written so many, I think 70, 80 plays. 12 productions were staged in front of Swami himself. So a lot of these things happened as a result of that. And the affinity for Swami became more and more. Now it is a result of that. You see, I'm a total failure. I failed my exams. Today I'm a professor and all that, but my A-levels, I'm a failure. I failed once and everybody was so devastated. Then they asked me to repeat the exam and I failed another time. I'm a twice failure. Could not go to any universities. I was totally locked out. I was completely written off, so to speak. So finally, when one college opened and they allowed me to go in, not because of anything else, because my results just scraped inside, so I went inside. So I was one of the last students. But it was then that Brother Jaga came there to that college which I spoke to you about.
Yes.
So literally, I'm actually completely and totally helpless, hopeless, and maybe useless student. I could not even study well. So that was my state. But because of Bhagwan's grace and because of the simple reason that I wanted my parents to call, my parents wanted to call me a doctor. And I really didn't know how. But I made up my mind that at one day my parents will call me. So it was sheer love for my parents that I wanted to fulfill that aspiration, that somehow in this college I somehow or other studied and got involved in the Sai movement. And it is only because of the Sati Sai Baba movement, of getting involved in the service programs and doing everything else, something happened in my system, in my mind, in my brains and so on. And today I'm a professor teaching medical faculty. I've got all the awards, Malaysian Torres Science Award, National Young Scientist Award, and this September I'm getting the Santhosham Gold Medal for Outstanding Contribution to Field of Science. I've got every award, and all these awards can only be because of Bhagavan Baba, my parents' blessings and everything else. So there's a devotee in Malaysia who used to tell me that if you decide to be God's dummy piece, he knows how to make you a masterpiece. Though I'm not yet, but I still think that there's a lot more to do.
Yes.
But this is a message to the youth. Every time I see people totally 100% concentrating on studies, they don't get involved in many of these things.
Mm.
When you start getting involved, there's a part of your personality that takes place.
Yes.
So I'm an evidence of that. The fact that by getting involved in the organization and getting responsible organization, being responsible in society, you find there is something that happens in your personality.
Yes.
And because this has happened to me, this is what my aspiration to help transform many, many students who are lost in their way. And as a result of that is what that caused all those outreach programs, community engagement from younger days.
Fantastic. And today, you have been now the head of the Department of Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaysia. You're a professor of parasitology. And, you know, as you narrate your story, what comes to my mind is, Swami used to always say that, you know, when you try to pursue the world, try to have your worldly degrees and worldly achievements, it's like following the shadow.
Yeah.
And when you have the coconut tree, if you actually climb the coconut tree, which is moving towards God, moving towards the things that Swami wants you to do to purify yourself, to lead a spiritual life, Swami says then automatically if you climb the tree, you will climb the shadow also. I think you are a fantastic example of that.
So Swami's grace, it has happened like that. I realize this whole thing, you know, this, you see, you can appear in a bhajan hall, you clap your hands and put the vibhuti and go back. And every week of Sunday, you may go for some service program. Okay, that's at the devotional level, at the level of the devotion. Yes, you are trying to become spiritual, you're trying, there's a lot of habits, you've got a lot of those things. But there's an evolution that must take place. The devotee must slowly become a missionary worker, which means his world, his life becomes a mission. There's something that he has to fulfill. Now, at this level is totally different. This level, you also have your devotion, but at the same time, everything must be organized in such a manner that you become an instrument for God to use.
Yes.
So that level is completely different. When you're at that level, you'll find that everything must be weird. You must not spend too much time doing things that are redundant. Your life becomes sharp. You must become clear. Time is very of essence. Because don't forget, a missionary, a Swami's devotee must realize, because Baba said, in one Vahini, Baba said, if you do not contemplate upon death, no jnanam can come to you. A jnani is only a jnani when he starts thinking about death. Baba said two things you must not forget, death and God. So when you start thinking, there's only a short span of time, 30 years, 40 years, you have only, the body is given to you for the purposes of redemption of the soul.
Yes.
And if you spend it away in all the other things that you're doing, you will not get time to focus. And when you're already old, your mind is too dissipated to consolidate and realign itself to a higher goal. You'll waste the whole life. So the preciousness of life can only be understood if you're involved in the mission work, interact with people, interact with motivating. So I'm very blessed to think that I'm so happy and glad that Brother Jaga decided to come to that college. I'm so happy that my father decided to send me to this particular college. And so happy, I'm so glad that God somewhere pulled me to his side in many ways. So I'm so blessed. I'm very blessed.
I think but the strong message is many times we know we postpone God in our lives. We think, you know, let me sort out my career first. Let me sort out this thing. Let me sort out with my family. Okay, let my son, you know, finish his medicine and then I'll have all the time in the world. Let my let my spouse finish this job and then we will, as a family, we will do Swami's work. But I think your life is a beautiful illustration of the fact that if you postpone God in your life, your life gets postponed.
That's it. That's a beautiful way of putting it. Excellent way. Because many people I've heard youths telling me, you know, brother, I have to achieve this. You know, I need to have $10,000, $100,000 first, then only I'll get married. I need to settle down. I need to have these two houses for all kinds of plans. I tell people, what's wrong with you guys, man? The way you're planning your life, how do you know you're leaving tomorrow? If you live tomorrow only, you can get your bed coffee. How do you know tonight is not your last night? So the point is, this moment, are you connected? Are you infused? Is your every soul, every breath connected? Oh Lord, if something happens to me, I must now crash to heaven to meet you and to see you. Is that preciousness, that precious moment, are you spending with that kind of thought? Only that single-pointedness can help you to reach there. Because Baba said in that story, remember at that time when the father names the children, all the gods, names Vengara Jalipati, Saraswati and Lakshmi, and everybody comes there, the man says, if all of you are here, who will look after the shop. And he dies.
Yes.
So the mind cannot get away from the attachments.
Yes.
So this organization is a gateway. I saw this is organized, Satisai organization is a gateway. Through this gateway, we must reach there. Youth must understand this. If you cannot understand this and understand it the way you want to understand it, you will just be playing outside the gateway, but you will never be able to enter into the gates.
Yeah, what I always say is, okay, you will think that you will sort out your life in the next 5 years. But you're thinking you will sort out in the next 5 years. What you don't realize is if you do Swami's work, it'll probably get sorted out in 2 years.
2 years, that's it. Yes. That's it.
Yeah. You know, because, and it's the same story of, I remember when I was in Sri Lanka some time back, and the current chairman of the Satisai organization of Sri Lanka, he was then the secretary, and he was sharing how whatever he is today, it is only because he joined the Satisai organization that he has blossomed as a fantastic leader.
Yeah.
He has become a great leader in his workspace.
Yes, yes.
Because of his involvement with Satisai organization, he learned how to work with people. He learned how to communicate.
Yeah.
All the skills that made him what he is today, it's only because of the Satisai organization. That's it. So, I mean, these are just the fringe benefits, actually. You are actually moving towards God. So, as you climb you climb this coconut tree, you will get the fruit, you will get the juice, you will get everything. And these other things, you know, your worldly achievements, a car, a house, and these are just
incidental
shadows.
Incidental.
They just happen.
Yeah. See, like now we're having Guru Purnima. Guru Purnima, only with a guru can you get the Purnima. The guru can lead you to fulfillment, total completeness.
Yes.
That can only happen with the guru, because the guru will take you to the Atma, which is gives you the bliss.
Yes.
Anything else, you always have plus one, I need to this, I need that, and forever we'll be restless. Only the guru can kill it all and put us into a state where we are totally blissful and happy. But for that to happen, that's why this place is called Prashanti. It's not even called Shanti Nilayam. It's called Prashanti Nilayam because we need to reach a supreme state of peace.
Yes.
By coming to this ashram, we are telling ourselves that this is my mental state that I need to achieve.
Yes.
By achieving this, I destroy all my mental state and I need to transcend that. How do I achieve that? Only by serving the guru. And by serving the guru means completely, totally, dedicate your life, dedicate your action. Everything gets to be settled.
Yes.
But for that, the youth must have complete faith and not keep on questioning, supposing this happens, supposing that happens. So that is why in Malaysia we encourage a lot of our youth to become missionary in their life, participate in that. We believe very strongly from 30 years ago we have experimented this, and we know for sure this is how we should do it. A lot of leadership programs are done, but really speaking, Lee Kuan Yew, the former Prime Minister, said no leader can ever be developed by a leadership training program. It's only by swimming can only be learned in a swimming pool. You have to get into the pool and learn how to swim. But of course, if you have the training as well, it helps you to move forward. But aspirations comes from jumping into. You must see the sorrow. You have to see the sorrow of someone who's not having something. You must see the pain of addiction in the eyes of people or the eyes of one who has actually taken. And how that person is trying to evolve. We must experience that their pain.
Yes.
Then by empathy, we can start to connect and start to be connected to them and serve them. You see, external reformation can create internal transformation.
Yes. So I know Malaysia is into a lot of these programs. So if you can share, what was the first project that you got involved in, and what was the inspiration? What was it that you saw that inspired you to say, let's start this?
This happened in 1999. This was one of the biggest breakthroughs that we had. In 1999, we looked at it. We saw a lot of gangsterisms coming up and a lot of youth getting involved in many of these programs. So it all becomes when the classes, we have got in secondary schools A, B, C, D, and E. So the E class students usually will fail and they have no other option. So they'll just become another gangster or drop out and they go into different ways. So what are the chances of us getting into the E-class and doing a program for them? So I knocked on the door of this principal and said that we have got all these programs and we want to come in and help the class. So the principal said, there's no point coming into this class because really they're just wasting their time. And even for your class, they will not come. So what is the point? So I said that since you have given up, then give it to us and we will do something about that. So you mean to say you have the modules? I looked straight and prayed to Swami. I said, yes, we have. But give us this class. Mm-hmm. So then the principal called the parents teachers this association, and now there is a law that says that you, no NGO can go into the schools. Okay. No NGO can. This is a, so a lot of people always tell gives this, oh, we cannot go and do this because we got this restriction. We got our mind is looking at all the blocks and all the restrictions. Yeah. Then how can God work?
Yes.
God cannot work if your mind is already believing that you cannot do.
Cannot do.
So when I stood there, I said, Swami, I'm here. You said, take one step, I'll take 100 steps. So I'm standing here right now, right in front of the principal, right in front of the Parents Teachers Association, and I'm saying, come on. So while we are debating how we should get into the school, in my mind I was chanting Sai Gayatri Mantra and Swami, Swami, come on, Swami, 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 you must come, you must come in, you must come in. So they were all sitting there and deciding, okay, I will send you a letter. The letter will be addressed to my university. I said, you cannot send me a letter because these modules are not coming from the university. Yes. These modules are actually coming from the Sathya Sai International, this organ. That time it was called Sathya Sai Central Council of Malaysia. So I know, but we have an issue. We cannot bring an NGO inside. I said, look, that is the problem that you are having, but we have got a solution. So when this debate was going on, suddenly by a miracle, the Parents Teachers Association president said, all right, we will take you inside through the Parents Teachers Association.
Wow.
So that was the biggest breakthrough that we can ever have. So you will take us, when you want to start? So that was a Monday. So he said, we'll start this Friday. Okay, we'll arrange the class. There were 70 of them will come in for the class. And you sure you will be, madam, leave it to us. We know what we are doing. We'll transform them. Okay, this is what we said. This is what we said. After the meeting was over, when I was walking to my car, there was a huge, I stood in there, closed the door, and I was sitting, Swami, now we don't have any modules. See, we didn't have any modules. We didn't have anything.
I know.
There was nothing there at that moment. So we prayed to Swami, Swami, they've already opened the door. So now what do we do? So Tuesday is bhajan day. So I called up a few of our youth. We gathered after Tuesday a bhajan. We sat there and we started to cook up the modules. We started to think. By inspiration, we created the first module that was going to go on Friday. Mm-hmm. So we all trained, rehearsed many times what we are supposed to be doing. And we called this program STAR, Student Training in Attitude and Responsibility.
Okay.
This is the first program that came out. We have now got about at least about 10 other programs, but this was the first that came out in 1999. We walked in on Friday. And the best part of our youth is that they volunteered time. See, many youth, you are prepared to come on a Saturday evening, Sunday, but our youth came on a working day. That means from 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning. The ability to sacrifice, self-sacrifice, without sacrifice, you cannot realize. Baba said that self-sacrifice is the first step to self-realization.
Yes.
And if you cannot give a little bit of your time and energy and effort, how can anything happen? So our youth came on a Saturday on morning, 7:30 to 8:30. And they went into the class, first class, we must not forget that, and they started to interact with the students. It was a huge success. The parents, the teachers, why, your boys are so professional, the headmaster said that. Then we know how the professionalism is coming, because just by pure faith in Bhagavan, which is why I'm saying, we just have faith in the teacher, have that basic knowledge of the system, and I think we will be able to achieve. Yes. So we made the miracle breakthrough. Subsequently, we kept on going from 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, the boys started to get involved in it. They started to experience our love. Then we took them for
us. So what did you do? You were just talking to them, or
involved? We had interactive classes,
games.
We had interactive games. We had debriefing sessions. We had all those very structured. We planned that all that every very well. And at the end, there was a learning outcome. So it was literally, if you ask me, it was an education human value class. Mm-hmm. But we packaged it in such a way that there was a lot of other dynamics towards it. And we always rehearsed it. Every session finished, we come back, we have a debriefing as to what has happened, which students were weak, which students were strong, and then we again focused back on refining the classes. This went on for weeks, then we took them for a camp. Mm-hmm. In that particular camp which we took was the first camp that we took in politics. This is all experimental. You see, we were...
I know.
So, but we just relied on Swami's faith, and our boys also were doing so well. Boys and girls, sorry, both of them came. And then they did extremely good work. At the end, the principal walked in at the second day of the camp. And they were stunned. Who are these boys? How did these boys become so different? That principal said. And then we started having tuition classes. Then another group of boys came on Saturday and they gave tuition classes. To cut a long story short, what was impossible, 79 of them became a success. They passed the exams. We call it O-level exams.
Oh.
The sure failures. The newspaper article came out. In the article came out where the Muslim headmistress said that it is because of the Sathya Sai Human Value Intervention Program under this banner called Star, that this whole thing was done. So this was something that was amazing and successfully carried out. This was the first program. Okay, the basis of that program is simple. If we are pure, we will be able to make other, the impurities in others can be taken in. What do we mean by that? Everyone cannot study because it's an agitated mind. If you're peaceful and happy and joyous and you sit with those people, they are calm, they will also become calm. The principal got very excited and happy. She telephoned other principals. Oh. We started getting more and more principals to say, please come to our school, please come to our school and so on.
You didn't talk about Swami at all.
No, no, in all these programs, the school knows that we are from the Sathya Sai Central Council. That's all.
Yes.
But in the programs, we don't mention about Swami, but we talk about the values that is much very, very important.
Yes.
This was the biggest breakthrough. As a result of this, many schools started inviting us and we began to become, and since then...
And many of these children probably are Muslims and...
Yeah, yeah. It's a mixed crowd. We have Malay, Chinese, a mixed crowd. It's not Indian crowd, it's a mixed crowd.
Yes.
So it was a well-accepted program and this went on. Since 1999 till today, we have got adopted, schools have been calling us and our youth have been doing this program continuously. You see, I always tell the youth, there is no point in just doing one time, once a year you do something, or 3 months once you, what is the point? Tapas means continuous, intense. They must be there. So our boys, every week they go for their class. 7:30 in the morning they work, come into class, finish work at 8:30, jump on the car, go to their own respective workplaces and work late at their respective workplaces.
Yes.
Without self-sacrificing, how can we realize?
Yes.
So this, I mean, they're all very blessed. I feel very blessed to be with this whole team because they're really good.
How many of them are involved?
Okay, in that initial period when we did, there was about 12 youth. And there was another sister, one sister Kunaveni, who was with us, and she was really, really remarkable person who had the perseverance, determination. She passed away, unfortunately.
Mm.
But it is such dedicated souls who have managed to energize this program. So like that. So this is
so now the number has increased.
Number of schools are inviting us for this is
and the youth also involved.
I've increased. So many, many youth are getting involved and we have now moved on to other types of programs. This is school-based programs.
Yes. So this was sort of a guiding star.
Once we got this and we got the confidence that's it. Then we already know because Swami said, look, whatever said and done, I'm not interested in your ability. I'm not interested in your capability. I just want your availability. Be available to me.
Yes.
Just be available. He knows what to do.
Yes.
So this is our confidence.
But before you move on, can I ask you to just share one story from of the STAR program, any one story of any child, which touched you, the way, and you were yourself amazed with the way that it worked out.
No, there's not one. In fact, we can sit here for the next 3 hours and tell you how these boys work. Look, there was one boy, I still remember when we were doing the camp in the camp, the gang leaders of this class will always sit at the back. The gang leaders normally sit at the back. And the way they walk and the way they will be totally different and they command the class.
Yes.
So I remember when that session when we were doing on parents, we called this boy. The boy came, at the way, typical way, and he came right in front of the class, and I asked him, do you think you can pass the exam? And he said, I think so. I pushed him, I really literally pushed him. He hit the on the wall. I'm telling you, you cannot do it because look at your face. I don't think you are cut out for it, and you're trying to impress the girls. So he said, no, I can do it. He came forward, I pushed him again. He hit the wall again, one more time. Then he said, I don't think so, you can. I don't think so. This went on for 2-3 times. Then at the fourth time, he pushed my hand away. You watch out, sir. I will get all the A's. I will get all the A's. You watch out. He said like that.
Wow.
So it was that was a very dramatic thing that took place. But he was the gang leader. So if the gang leader is breaking, then you'll find the...
Yes.
So that the class started to now resonate and come back. Like this, the amazing thing is they don't come to class at 7:30. But when our youth give free tuition on Saturday, working days they don't come. Saturday, 7:30, the 100% attendance. 100% attendance. So up there, I still remember, I was doing a teacher training program, teacher training for the teachers there, and these boys were doing the training for the boys. So I opened the door and I asked the teachers, look, why are the students sitting there at 7:30? Why are they not coming to your class? Because I said, teaching profession is not, teachers should not become a substitute for anesthesia. You know, you must be inspiring.
Yes.
You must be connected.
Yes.
So Swami always talk complaining teachers, yes, but are you explaining teachers? But yes, inspirational teachers are,
yes,
very few.
Yes.
So these boys have learned how to inspire and they get connected because the basis of that whole program is come, experiment me, experience me, then accept me. If they have experienced your love, they will accept anything that you want.
Yes. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So this is the basis of that teaching and this is what that whole program became successful from 1999 to now. Now then we started the other programs with many other kinds. For one of the programs is Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
Shakti program is strengthening heart, attitude, talent, knowledge, and image. We are quite good with acronyms. Shakti means strengthening heart, attitude, talent, knowledge, image. How this program came about is very interesting. This is one day I was sitting up in my house, calling Brother Jega at 7:30 in the morning, and I was telling him that crime is coming up, brother. The whole place is becoming so much of crime. What are we going to do? This is not good. We have to do something. And I was talking to him, and he was explaining, and I was talking to him. Suddenly, my house alarm goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'll call you back. I put the phone down, and I go downstairs, and I see my wife is panicky. Then I asked her what happened. She was watering the Tulasi plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time when somebody came in the front of the gate, and that person said, do you know this address? So she was going near the gate to tell her, then only she remembered the neighbor said, don't be careful of this gang called address gang. They always come and ask you for the address. When you come near, they will snatch the chain. That's going on. There's a big crime. So she remembered that and she took 3 steps ahead. This man, knowing the thief who has come, knowing that my wife has become aware, she jumped over the gate and started rushing behind her. But she had the presence of mind to rush into the house, close the door and press the alarm. Which caused that man to run away. That alarm is what that interrupted the phone conversation. Now I'm coming down. See, we are talking about crime up there and this happening right in front of my house.
Oh my God.
See, this is all Swami's amazing grace. So it is after that I went to the police station. I reported, made a report. Then I was very disturbed. I'm saying, Swami, why did this happen in our house? What is it? What is it that you're trying to tell me? Anything that happens to us is a signal. The universe is giving you a signal.
Signal.
Yes. It is from there that this idea was conceived. Shakti, strengthening heart, attitude, talent, knowledge, image. Supposing if we now do a program and bring many more people like that. So that is how this program started to conceive. The Shakti program started to conceive. It is this program that our youth and we did a training program for hardcore gangsters. It is that program, and this is what you must have seen when you came for the Sai convention. We went into the forest 20 years ago and touched a few people and brought these people into the camp. And when they came in, these boys are real hardcore boys, and they got transformed. That boy, 20 years later, is now walking into the Sai convention, which you were there. And this man came there. He said, I came in for that camp because I wanted to disturb the girls. That's what he said. I wanted to disturb the girls. And then the girls were not there. And then suddenly certain things you were saying, people were saying, I got transformed. As a result of that, I am today a transformed person. I used to do all kinds of crime, but now I'm transformed. I'm now having a business, having 47 Innova.
Wow.
And he's such a big industrialist now, so to speak. He's got a tour and travel. And he said it's all because Satish Sai organization took the time and the trouble to reach out to us.
Yes.
And therefore, I'm a transformed person. I used to deal with many things, but today I'm a transformed person. And we invite him now to help us in the transformation program.
Wow.
Okay, what does it mean? It means that bad people are not bad.
Yeah.
Who is bad? Good people are continuously staying in the four walls of the Sai centers and saying, Samasta Loka Sukinu Bhavantu, Samasta Loka Sukinu Bhavantu. How is the world going to be repaired? If we are not prepared to get up and reflect the white shirt and the white pants that we wear, reflect the purity in society and come out and touch these people, then only can transformation. We need to be trained, yes. But I'm saying that we must not spend too much time, too much of analysis can cause paralysis.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you have the heart, know the basics, empower yourself with some techniques and so on, I think anybody can become a trainer. The most important thing of a trainer is that the passion to get connected.
Yes.
That's it. And so that you saw the convention, that is how that story of that man came by. Yeah. And that program is called Shakti. And that program now, we are using it for vocational training schools, because schools, the O-level failures, they come into these colleges and they're really very bad, alcohol consumption. So this is what we do. And as a result of this training that we have now done, college principals are now saying, because of our youth, their youth now have stopped smoking and stopped drinking and all that. You know, that is powerful evidence. We have got it on video.
Wow.
So we have done that. So The responsibility, the world is collapsing because responsibility is on us.
Yes,
look at the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna.
Yeah. I think the world, if you are seeing something unpleasant in the world, it is not because of a few people doing wrong.
Yeah.
It is because of a majority keeping quiet about it.
That's it. Yeah. You see, Krishna could have kept himself in the bedroom of Dwarka and said, you all fight and let me know who the winner is. He didn't do that. Lord Krishna was right in the front, holding the reins and pulling the whole chariot.
Yes.
And he was washing the horses. Okay, why should the Supreme Lord do this work?
Yes.
Because he wanted to make sure good people must always be in the forefront.
Yes.
It's only then that the world can follow and emulate the fine examples. The abdication of good people doing what they should do is the result of the failure in the world today. This is the complete evidence of what we are seeing today.
I mean, Mahabharata also is a grand illustration of this.
Yeah.
The silence of all the seers and all the sort of respected individuals of the Kaurava kingdom.
Yeah.
You had Bhishma being silent. You had all the Kripacharya and Dronacharya. They all were silent.
Yeah.
And that's why.
In fact, Dr. Reddy just now was, we had a seminar town hall conference, and Dr. Reddy was mentioning, Swami mentioned, don't be like Bhishma, but be like Vibhishana.
Yes.
Because Bhishma was silent. He had the knowledge, but what use is of those knowledge when the adharma was not being was being executed? You were not there to correct it.
Yes.
But our friend, other side,
Vibhishana,
he just said, thank you very much, but I won't be with you, but I want to cross on to the other side.
Yes.
So the discrimination, that is why the first bhajan song that we sing is a Ganesha song.
Yeah.
First, we sing, first thing that man was have is this discrimination. Don't know what is real and what is not real.
Yes.
In fact, Bhagavan mentions in Prashanti Vahini, Swami gave, what is the meaning of tapas? What is austerity? Swami said, first discover what is real and what is unreal.
Yes.
Then immerse yourself in the real.
Yes.
And then have the perseverance to make sure that you complete the goal when in the real. This is all. So I used to give an acronym. It's called discriminate. What do you call, have the immerse inside and then have the perseverance. So dip means by dipping yourself inside, you constantly an austerity. So the mind must be, why is the world like this? Why is the world like that? It is the same in the newspaper report. A lot of devotees read newspapers. Oh, the world is like that. The world is... Okay, what is the use of having that knowledge when you are not doing anything about it? So like that, when we read in Malaysia, teenage pregnancies became very high. And I think teenage pregnancies all around the world is very high. Okay, we can say, oh, this is not my problem. You know, I don't have daughters and I don't have this. So you can have that attitude and refrain. But that is not the right attitude to have, because a teenage person having a baby, the baby will grow up to have very low esteem.
Yes.
Because there's no total parenting and so many things. And this baby now,
without a family, the society breaks.
And that is what Baba is saying. The community is divinity, and that is where you need to. So now this lady now, this girl, lady who gives birth to this girl, this baby now goes up. Now the low self-esteem will now create relationship issues.
Yes.
So it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yes.
So instead of solving it at that end, solve it at the cause.
Yes.
So what do we do? So we thought about it and we said, why not we get our group of girls and we launched a program called VIP. VIP means values, innocence and purity. So become a VIP. Rise for VIP. We have a program called Rise for VIP. Reaching for inner strength and empowerment for values, innocence and purity. So we got all our girls, we created the modules, we all sat together, and the girls now are going from school to school, empowering form 3, form 4, this 15, 16 years old, and to choose life partners well, to not go into relationship issues and so on.
Yes.
Our girls, Malaysian girls, we have now touched 1,800 girls.
Wow.
By going to schools. And they have now done Skype training, and the girls in Thailand, I have now done. So with Skype training, we're able to now pass this message to other people. And it's becoming successful, and the girls and the people who have been doing this thing has been so good. So the issue here is that we need to reach out, and we need to reach out in big numbers.
Yes.
So while all this was going on in my university, I stood and argued with my vice chancellor, what is the need? How is it that we give these certificates, we give all these scrolls, but how do we know confidence is bestowed? That is the most important thing. So he asked me, what should we do? I said, we should get the students all to do community service. So as a result of it, all 3,500 new students who come into our university, they are now doing community service.
University of Malaysia.
As a compulsory community service.
Wow.
So what they do is they go inside, they have to go to old folks home, come back, do a briefing, do a report and so on. And I think all universities must do this.
Yes.
All universities must do this.
I think only when you step out and do something like a community service, you will experience joy of service. That's many it. Times, you know,
yeah.
you think this is what a car yeah. is what give me joy, or this possessing this will give you joy. Yeah. But you realize very, very late in life that this is not what actually gives yeah. you true joy. This yes. this joy is not what is sustaining.
Yeah.
But I think if you have experienced the joy of service right yeah. Early in your life, yeah. I think then you will know where to focus your energies to be always happy.
Yeah. And then the Satisai organization also, international organization, the past presidents, the current presidents, if you, every one of them have been very supportive of the youth movement and encouraging them, pushing them all. And we have seen that all the youth who are participating in these activities are also materialistically growing up. They're not people yes. by sacrificing. It's yes. not that they became redundant in society. Yeah.
It's not that they spent time for the activities and, you know, they went yeah. down in their studies no. or they went down in their career.
In fact, we have seen many of them have succeeded. Many yes. of them are holding some senior positions
yes.
and they are rising as well. They're getting
yes.
married.
Yes.
So I think it comes hand in hand.
Yes.
But look, a person who spends all his time in his office career, and there are some people are like that. They're yes. from morning to night, they yes. work, yes. and then Saturday, Sunday, go to a club or somewhere,
yes.
and then spend their entire life like that. At the end of 55, 60, you yes. carry one luggage, which is just a limited experience.
Yes.
But our boys will go through this whole experience.
Yes.
But they have got accumulated so much of other experiences,
yes.
and they got a wealth of that. And yes. it is experiences that yes. must be converted to knowledge,
yes.
and it is knowledge that must be converted to wisdom. And
yes.
Baba said, the end of wisdom is freedom.
Yes.
See, the whole idea is they have to contextualize the whole knowledge. And so this whole thing is earnest. Bringing yes. as much knowledge as possible. How can you do that if you are safely sheltered in your own backyard? It yes. cannot happen. A ship is safe in the port, but yes. that's not what ships are meant for.
Yeah.
It must sail.
Yes. In fact, that reminds me of Swami Vivekananda after he came back from US after that famous address. And, you know, he was in a monastery and one of the young monks, he tells, Master, I have a problem. Yeah. What happened? No, I've been sitting there in this room. I've closed the doors, I have switched off the light, and I've been trying to concentrate, I'm not able to control my mind, you know, I'm not able to go grow, what should I do, how should I meditate, how can I grow? And Swami Vivekananda, this is, I'll tell you what to do, you go now, you open the door, switch on the light, take your mat, throw that mat, you go out, and go out and serve, go out and serve that old man who's in the street, go out and serve that sick man who's lying there with no help.
Yeah.
That is what will save you, not sitting here and meditating and trying to see, I will grow up spiritually. Yeah.
Because even to meditate, you need grace.
Yeah.
Let me just explain to those who are listening to this radio conversation. Okay, what is it that keeps us going every day? I'll tell you, my own motivation. Look, the whole idea is experiences, when you're experiencing with your mind, is very limited. I've studied Swami's literature and read through. What he's asking is we need to transcend that. Apparently, the experience of the big, huge, blissful experience is lying behind the mind. Now, I have to quieten the mind and transcend that to experience that fullness. There's a huge, big treasure waiting
that
to be explored.
Beyond. Yes.
I can't reach there unless I quieten my mind. Now, how do I quieten my mind? The I and the want must go. Then only I can get the peace. I want peace. So I is the ego. So my individuality has to go down. Yeah. My desires have to go. Yeah. How do I do that? By extending my hand and wiping the tears of others, my mind is getting quiet.
Yes.
Actually, it's for selfish reason. When we touch all these people anymore.
I know.
It is for the purpose of
your own redemption.
Yeah. For my own. So at the end of the day, when I die and leave, I can't take all the papers. I've already got 100 over papers, books. And I cannot take even a single one.
Yes.
My house is, my cupboard is full of these medals that I've received. And this medal, the gold medal, everything is there. But it is of no value because I cannot take any of these when I die.
Yes.
That realization is very clear. In fact, the ring that I'm wearing will be taken away. Swami gave me this ring. But on my deathbed, I think they will take it away. So everything will be taken. So I won't have anything. So I have a very clear vision of what death is. So time is very short. I have to reach as many people, trigger many people, to get your enthusiastic youth to be passionate about what they are supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And that is how to redeem their souls and redeem their life.
Yes.
The whole reason why there's so much of impurity is because our purity is contained and confined.
Yes.
Yeah. And we keep on saying, samasta loga, it won't happen. Yeah.
In fact, I feel the best way to drive out an unpleasant odor outside is you have to light the fragrance.
That's it.
You have to increase the amount of fragrance.
That is
the only way you can, remove anything that is unpleasant.
Yeah.
And I think...
And now we have launched, after our series of programs, and we've become very confident in launching, we got a whole array of programs.
You did a lot of programs after 2011, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
1999 we started. Then it went on. We've been doing with this program, Star, Shakti, and all that. And lately, and then we did the parent care program also came inside. So we did all those things. And then lately now, we launched the last of the series that we have launched now is a program called DARTS. Uh-huh. DARTS is drugs, alcohol, relationship issue, time wastage, and smoking.
Oh, that's interesting.
Any youth will be involved in either one of these five.
Yeah.
Definitely. Today, in this world.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a good example. Drugs now. It's becoming very common. People are taking it to study hard. See, they're universities now, when they are studying, because examination is coming near, so unconsciously or consciously, friends have influenced them, so they swallow this. And they're doing it innocently.
But you'll be awake in the night.
Yeah. So these drugs, if you take, you can stay awake very late.
Okay.
And you can even remember, and sometimes you can...
It improves your memory.
It improves. But all these have got side effects.
I know, of course.
It's all immediate, but it is just for that immediate priya, you forget the sharia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So long-term effects are there.
Yes.
Likewise, now they go for a party, and the marijuana smoking is very common. Nowadays is so this one, and marijuana is now found everywhere. In some countries they've also legalized it.
Yeah.
So in countries that have legalized marijuana, this is okay. It's happening. That means now the more importance is towards discrimination.
Yeah.
We now need to empower our people. What is it necessary? Is it not necessary? That discrimination chip must go inside.
Yes.
That's why all the devas can be there, but they can only be accessed through Ganapati. So
yeah.
Ganapati's discrimination must become very vivid in our system, in our mind. And what does it mean? That means every student now, especially education human value program, this discrimination must be very big. Why? Because today, the psychologists are saying it's not just intelligence that's going to make you extraordinary. In this world today, the number one quality that makes you different from ordinary and extraordinary is only one, and that is willpower. The more and more willpower you have, the more and more successful you'll be. Why? Because the world is full of temptations. Huge. The choices are so many.
Yes.
What do I take? What choices? Which path should I take? This is something glaring at me now.
Everyone, especially in the SAI organization today, wherever I went recently, they're asking me this question, how to deal with distractions?
Yeah, exactly. So how, when your distractions are so many, and the fact that they're fighting this distraction, fighting with distraction also depletes your own mental energy. That is why people are getting to become tired. When you actually work with inspiration, you'll never become tired. When you are working in the university or when working any place, when you're forced to look at your handphone, look here, look there, when you're distracted, when you're fighting that distraction is depletion of energy, mental energy. Mm. So people get exhausted and tired. When you work with inspiration, it always energizes you. That's why when somebody went and said, Swami, you know, 6 days we are working, Sunday is a rest day. Swami said, rest day. Rest day means do different things. Change of work is rest. So what does it mean? You need to change that piece of work and work with that inspiration. Now, if that inspiration is now pour into your ordinary work, while looking after your child, looking after every day, if we are living our life with an inspired way, your life is a holiday.
Yes.
You don't have to take a break from it. I have seen people saying, I want to take a break from my family. Hey, what is your family, your children? That is the place where you're supposed to. I've seen mothers saying that. I've got 2-3 children, but I need a break from them. How can you have a break with people who give you a lot of joy and happiness? So my point here is that there may be something that we are not dealing with in the right way.
Yeah.
So having joy and happiness is living every day in an inspired manner. But how that inspired manner comes is very simple. The formula is this. Look, this is ritual. Everything that you do in world after 3-4 times when the experience is the same is a ritual.
Yes.
Coming for a bhajan also can be ritual.
Yes.
But when you want to turn it into spiritual, you only add 3 letters in front of ritual, which is SPI.
Yes.
SPI means Swami's purpose and intention.
Mm-hmm.
When you add Swami's purpose and intention into ritual, it becomes spiritual.
Wow.
So work becomes spiritual. Life becomes spiritual. Okay. Everything becomes spiritual. Because what is Swami? If Swami was here, what will he think? If Swami was here, how? So if I have his purpose, will he like what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is this what? So I get to become navigated in the right way. So this is how to live in, and you don't need a break. You always look for something to be excited about, to share your experience and love.
Yes.
Because ananda.
Yes.
Sat chit ananda. That's what we are supposed to be.
Yes.
So we started this program because the world is moving towards addiction. 10 years from now, 15 years from now, the number one disease will be depression.
Yeah,
yeah. Depression. All psychiatric hospitals are becoming more mental.
Yes.
Because the real reason is why this is happening. Esteem is getting low. They can't fight the challenges.
Yes.
They can't battle things.
Can't accept.
Accept. Yeah. So there's a lot of things. That's why Baba's first song was Manas Bajore Guru Charan. he already understood and clearly gave a clear signal. The whole melody of life will be the mind. This mind is going to be the issue. Unless the mind gets to be surrendered at the feet of the teacher, meaning unless the mind can come and marry intelligence, where the feet, where the guru stands is the feet, intelligence. That is when the buddhi shakti will start to come. Yes. With the buddhi shakti, slowly, slowly we start to live a atmic life.
Yes.
That realization was coming to a youth. So we started this program called DARTS. And what happens is that we are going now and we are getting responses so good.
Okay.
We are going to colleges, universities. And this is something that all youth around the world can do. Just knock on the doors of a university vice chancellor and say that we have come here to bring awareness on these issues of drugs. Drugs is that issue. Alcohol, you know. And many people take it just for friends. Sometimes, you know, just for casual, just for a break. People take these things like alcohol. But one thing is to take one drink. Look, an alcoholic never wanted to be an alcoholic. You know, it all starts with one drink.
Yes.
And I think people must become very clear. Baba said, if you're my devotee in the 70th birthday, if you're my devotee, give up meat eating, give up drinking, and give up alcohol. He said it very clearly.
Yeah.
Then you want to interpret that message in different ways. Why? We need to give it up. So why is your mind craving for it? Which means to say there is a desire.
Yes.
So how do I overcome that desire? That is what you should be asking.
Yes.
Instead of trying to justify in different ways, if I'm not supposed to do it, then why should I get influenced? Anything that makes you happy which comes from an external source cannot be right.
Yes.
Because along the way, it starts to get addicted.
Yes.
So D is drugs, A is alcohol, then relationship issue. And that's what's happening, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all these teenage pregnancies and all that. So the relationship has to be correct and has to be right and has to be matured.
Sai Ram. You just heard the first part of a conversation with Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, a former president of the Sathya Sai Organizations, Malaysia. This was part of our series, Tryst with Divinity, where we offer you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. This was recorded in July 2017. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Bishop Prashti. Dear listener, you may send in your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.